about, yes, it can. Oh, a thankful heart. Break down the walls of pride. 'Cause overcoming every problem, it begins with a thankful heart. Begins with a thankful heart.
Always rejoicing and praying constantly. In every circumstance we should give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you and me.
Only then can we discover joy and liberty.
Gratitude to God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to thank you, Father, for this evening. We give you praise, we give you glory for this glorious opportunity to be in your presence. We shall never be the same after tonight and after what we will hear. Our lives will change forever. What we couldn't do, be able to do. What we didn't have, we'll begin to have. What has been our expectations will be met. Impossible situations have been made possible. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it shall come to pass all that I've said, because your spirit is here with us to perform and to do what you have willed to do in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bible to Psalm 106, verse 1. This is a special service of thanksgiving to God. Special service of thanksgiving to God. So in Psalm 106, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Are you sure God has been good to you? Are you very sure he has been good to you? Then let me feel you giving thanks to God this evening. Hallelujah. He said, for he is good. Look, it doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your expectations have come to pass or not. Whatever your situation is, doesn't change the fact that God is good. Hallelujah. Whatever you have seen, whatever has happened, whatever it is, you can never change the fact that God is good. Hallelujah. And all the time, not sometimes. You know, when things are going off on well for you, you may say, oh, God is good. And then when things are not going on well, you may say, oh, God is not so good. Hallelujah. But all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist says that give thanks in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at dawn, whenever. Give thanks. They said that a thankful heart breaks down the walls of pride and sets you free. Hallelujah. So give thanks. And for many times and several times in the book of Psalms, it says, for his mercy endureth forever. Look, if for nothing at all, give God thanks for his mercies. Hallelujah. If for nothing at all, give God thanks that he has not dealt with you according to your sins, according to your mistakes, according to your disobedience, according to your stubbornness, according to the money you should have given you didn't give, according to the things that you said you shouldn't have said, according to the place you went you shouldn't have gone. If God was to deal with you that way, hey! So just for his mercies, not for the money in your pocket, no, not for the car you are driving, not for the new job you got, but just for his mercies, for his mercies. It is his mercy that has made you to come and sit here tonight. It is his mercy. It is his mercy that is not demanding of you what you should pay for. It is his mercy. Hallelujah. So you have every cause to give thanks every day, every time. Hallelujah. And this Thanksgiving service we'll be having and we are having, it's not a one-off something. It's just to let you know that you should always be thankful to God. Hallelujah. Because a thankful heart breaks down the walls of pride and that's many other things. That's what again. Overcome every problem. A thankful heart overcomes every problem. Hallelujah. Joel Osteen has said in his book, Your Best Life Now, that one of the main reasons that we lose our enthusiasm in life is because we become ungrateful. That's one of the reasons why we lose our joy, our enthusiasm, the kiss you kissed in the marriage, the happiness in your life, is because you become ungrateful. You know, over time, what happens, it goes on to say that we let what was once a miracle become common to us. You see, what was once a miracle, we make it become common. It's a somebody who was once a dearest guy, you couldn't sleep without sending him a text. I mean, you are under your sheet and you are sending WhatsApp messages. You can't sleep. You can't sleep. Sometimes I'm walking by the windows of some of my children, and I see that I realize that the light is off, but they are not asleep, because I can say the phone is giving a light in the room. And what are they doing? They are chatting. They cannot sleep. Hey! When you see the man, those were the days that when you see the man visit you, your heart is jumping with joy and happiness. When you hear the horn, Papa, hey, Mete, pa, pa, Kebibo. Hallelujah. I just remember there's a song like that. Papa driver, bedroom letter, come on, me dear. Mete, pa. Those were the days. Hey! When you are cooking and your husband is sitting in the room, you'll be singing because you are going to do him show. Those were the days. But you see that what was once a miracle, what was once a joy, becomes so common. That's why, see, we don't rejoice in our salvation again. We don't rejoice in our salvation again. When we come to church, what was once a powerful thing that having two sinners, even these days when people give their life to Christ, we don't clap. It's become common. I remember those days, if you have Holy Ghost baptism, when I got born again, I organized an all-night for me to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. When I got born again. But this is nothing now. You see, we lose our enthusiasm in life and become ungrateful when what was once a miracle becomes so common to us. What it means that now, you see, you are not happy. And you don't know why you are not happy. You think it's somebody's problem, but it's because something that is a miracle is now common to you. Yes. That is why the joy is not there. That's why you don't even know what to do. What to do to make yourself happy again. Because you can't see the miracle. You can't see what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. It becomes so common that even some of you wives, when your husband does things for you, you don't even appreciate it. I mean, it's like, oh, you should do it. It's your duty to do it. Hey! It's your duty to do it. It becomes so common. When somebody gets a miracle and is sharing their testimony, that when pastor was preaching, this and this happened to me, you even start yawning. Because that becomes so common. That's why there's no joy. That's why there's no happiness. That's why. That's why you can sit down when a nice song like this is being sung, and someone cannot sit down. Because the person has still not forgotten. The person has still not forgotten. He said, we get accustomed to his goodness and it becomes a routine. We get accustomed. So most of us have become accustomed to God's goodness. So now, what is mercy that you should wake up in the morning and lift up and say, Lord, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Now it has become common to you. So when you hear, for his mercy shall, you don't even sing it again. Ever faithful. It's common to you now. You don't know how wonderful, how powerful this mercy means. You become accustomed to it. It's no longer precious to you. Hallelujah. But if you know that 70 times, 7 times, because of his mercies, every day he's washing off your sins. You wake up in the morning and he says that his steadfast love never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And you remember all the things you have done, the stupid words you have spoken, the places you have been to, and you appreciate that. Hey! Around 3 a.m., I had a call. When I had a call, I said, who is calling me at this time? Who is calling me at this time? Because my wife was not too well, so as a caring husband, I had to take my time and put her to sleep. So I didn't sleep early. Why are you saying, why you don't believe it? I had to make sure. So I didn't, just when I was starting to sleep, then I realized one of the church members was, why would this church man call me at this time? Then I looked at it. Just when I was speaking, it went off. Then it called again. And I picked the phone. He said, Bishop, Bishop. I said, why? He said, something is happening to my husband. My husband cannot sleep. Something is happening to my husband. I said, what is happening to your husband? Tell me. He said, my husband thinks he's going to die. My husband thinks he's going to die. I said, no, why? If he thinks he's going to die, he's not dead. He thinks he's going to die, but he's not dead. So he's alive. Is he alive? I said, yeah, he's thinking, but he's not dead. Then they said, yes, no. So I said, what happened to him? He says that the husband was asleep and he had a dream. When he had a dream, he saw himself going down, down, down into a dark pit. Down, down, down. And he saw that the place was so scary. So he started screaming and shouting. And he got up and he thought he was dead. I mean, even when he was screaming, he still thought he was dead. And he was in this thing. So I said, let me talk to him. So I spoke to him. And I said, first of all, you are not dead. And first of all, you are not dead. And secondly, God has shown you mercy. God has shown you mercy. He has shown you mercy. Because what God has shown you is that even though you have been coming to church with us every day, but if you had died now, you would have gone straight to hell. So God has just shown you mercy. You see, the mercies that we take for granted. You see, if you had died now, we would have gone to hell. When he said that he got a dream and got out of his body, I understood. Because once I also had a dream and I got out of my body and I saw my wife lying there. But surprisingly, I realized that when I realized, death is not death. Because coming to think of it, I was only looking at her. She was sleeping, she was smiling. And then I think I was asking who will marry her or something. But anyway, I was just looking at her. Looking at her, and then I realized that my looking at her was more like, didn't mean it's actually where I'm going, it's a nicer place. So I can't describe how I felt, but it wasn't like sadness, it wasn't like anything, it was more like I know her, she was sleeping, and she's there. Something like that. Do you get it? It's the mercies of God. Hallelujah. And I called him again. I said, did you hear what I told you last night? God has been merciful to you. And he told me, yes, now I believe that God. I said, all the things you have been doing that we don't know, stop doing it now. Hallelujah. So you have every cause to wake up in the morning and say, by his mercies, you can go under his blood and say, Lord, thank you for your mercies. Thank you. Not thank you for your car. Thank you for your house. Thank you for your mercies. thank you for your mercies. Hallelujah. So we have to give thanks to God. It should be a lifestyle. Hallelujah. When you wake up in the morning, just thank the Lord in your heart. Be happy. Be thankful. So that people don't know why you are always smiling. Because in your heart, it's a certain attitude. It's not a temperament. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that I appreciate where I was and where God has brought me. You may think it's a temperament. That would be a very good temperament. But I want to say that it's an attitude. Hallelujah. And you should always know that God is good. Say, so let us give thanks unto the Lord for what? He is good. He is good. Hallelujah. Every time he is good. We don't need any explanations. Whatever you are going through, you will see that is good. Amen. Now, why should we give thanks to God? Apart from the fact that he is good. Generally speaking, he is good. And then let's look at Luke chapter 17. I can only see from your faces that you are ready to continue in thanksgiving. Amen. Be thankful to God. Or don't take your husband for granted. Remember the first time he proposed to you, how you felt. Is it the same way today? Is it? It's not. By now you'll be looking for him, whether he's in church. Now you don't even know where he is, perhaps. And you don't care. Hey! Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was even a Samaritan. And usually it is the Samaritans who do those things, not those who are around, not those who are so used to you. Not those who have heard you all over and over and over again. Not those who think they are qualified. The Samaritans already thought they were not qualified. Already think they are not qualified. So for Jesus to heal her, she felt a sense of gratitude. So she went. She was the Samaritan. You are the Christian. You are the one who doesn't make any mistakes. She was a Samaritan. And listen to this. And Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? This question, I always say, shows us God's expectations of us when he does anything for us. Yes. He doesn't need to tell you. You see, some of you, even to say thank you to somebody, the person has to preach why you should appreciate before you do it. But he doesn't need to tell you. You yourself should know that this thing that has been done for me, I need to thank him. Hallelujah. I need to thank him. So God expects us to thank him for the good things he has done in our lives. He expects us. He expects you to thank him. You were a prostitute. You were an unbeliever. Bible said they were lepers and they were cleansed. And yet, when they were cleansed, they forgot to go back to the person who cleansed them. In fact, what happens, even at best, if you don't take care, you'll be insulted. I've seen people that have helped in marriage, even to get married, even to get children, even to build a house. I've seen such people turn back and instead of thanks, insults. It's rather what I have received. That's what usually happens. Instead of, even if you not thank, you keep quiet, but rather insults and all sort of things is what you rather get. Jesus said, why? Where are the 9? Is it that what happened to they took it for normal? Is it that they took it that look after all what After all, we're going to, if he could do it, he should. He didn't lay hands on it. He said we should go. It's we were going that we're healed. He didn't do anything about it. So you see, God expects you to give thanks. Don't take for granted that a church came here for you to be born again. Don't take for granted that messages are preached to you every day. Don't take for granted that God is the one who has delivered you from everything. So that you come to God with an attitude and a heart of thanksgiving and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for this whole year, for what you have done for me. Don't take for granted. That's why we saw that you don't put your hands together. Well, so it's like you have become so used to certain things, or so even clapping, you don't clap. It's like, oh man, what is this? So give thanks to God. Another reason why we need to give thanks to God is because it is His will. Sometimes obeying the will of God is difficult, but it's always the best. It's difficult, but it's always the best. Hallelujah. It's difficult, but it is always the best. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. After you have done what? He said, you have need of patience. Is that not so? And that, first of all, cast not away your confidence. Is that not so? Which had great recompense of reward. That means that at this stage, you are going through something. And then he goes and you have need of patience. You have need of patience. With a great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. And that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Now, what is the will of God in this? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says that in everything, everybody say everything. Does it include when you were sad from work? Are you sure? Does it include now that you still don't have a work? Are you sure? Does it include when your wife made you unhappy? When your husband made you unhappy? When your family members make you unhappy? Does it include all these ones? Everything is everything, dear friend. You cannot sit down and pick and choose which ones are part of the everything and which ones are not. Everything is everything. Hallelujah. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the will of God is that it has great recompense of reward. It will bring you the promise that in the midst of all your calamities, in the midst of all your problems, give thanks to God. Hallelujah. How many of you feel that you're having some problems? It's not easy to give thanks to God. Bible says it is His will. And I told you the other time that His will is not the problem that has happened to you. You know, sometimes we misinterpret this scripture. It's not the problem that has happened to you. His will is that in the midst of the problem, give thanks to God. That's all. In the midst of the problem, give thanks to God. That is His will for you. Hallelujah. Another thing is that thanksgiving is necessary for prayers to be answered. If you want your prayers to be answered, be thankful. Hallelujah. 100% answered prayer goes with thanksfulness. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With what? But many of us do it with complaints, with sadness, with a lot of attitude towards God, that you have disappointed me. You know, sometimes you don't need to say it. God is saying, He knows what you are trying to tell Him. Do you get it? It's, I'm disappointed in you. But Bible said that with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It means that you said, Lord, I want to thank you for 2018. 2017 has been good. It's not everything that happened that I can say I wanted to be so. But I know that you know what you were doing. So I want to thank you for 2017. But I still want to thank you for 2018. That has not come, but is yet to come. I want to thank you that 2018 is a good year for me. I want to thank you that 2018 is a powerful year. My breakthrough is coming. My miracles are coming. And I commit 2018 to you with all my heart, with hope and expectation that 2018 is good and great. So by 31st night when you are dancing, you already know in your heart that it's a good year. Yes. Let your requests. So thanksgiving should come before your request. The midst of the request, flow with thanksgiving. Flow. So it is necessary for prayers to be answered, in case you don't know. And let me tell you something. You see, if you like, I think God is a husband. Many husbands are not moved by tears. But I'm saying that when you are dealing with God, He is not moved by your emotion. It has a place. It has a place. Do you get it? It has a place. But God is moved by the substance of what you are presenting to Him and the way you are doing it and how you are going about it. Amen. Sometimes the emotions are important. Yeah. The emotion, but the emotions must be with substance. The emotions are important, but they must be with substance. Hallelujah. We have to give thanks to God because God expects us to appreciate our salvation and thank Him with the most expensive of our substance. Hallelujah. He expects us to appreciate our salvation and not only that, to thank Him with our substance. To thank Him with our substance. That is when you want to go and thank somebody, a chief or someone who has done something, you don't go empty handed. You go with something. You don't go empty handed. Why is it that when it comes to God, you always want to come? You have come empty handed. Say, Radie, Mabao, don't let me go empty handed. You came empty handed. You say, He shouldn't let you go empty handed. What do you mean? What do you mean? Hey, am I preaching? So in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, it said, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, they came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? The women are very emotional. What is this thing that your husband has bought something for you? You have come to pour it on this man. What is this waste? What is this waste? Then they said, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, in other words, when He heard it, He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? And listen to the next phrase. For she had wrought a good work upon me. Hallelujah. She has done what? Wrought a good work upon me. In other words, Jesus was saying the expensive thing she has come to bring and poured upon Him was a good work that she has done. She has done a good thing. If you don't know what is good to do, this is one of the good things to do. To show appreciation with your substance to God. This is one of the good things to do. It is not today alone that people started complaining when people take things for God. No, it's not today that people complain. Even the Son of God Himself, when somebody was pouring an expensive oil upon His head, His own disciples even were filled with indignation. His own disciples, not even the world, let alone the world. This is not the first time. Do you get it? And yet Jesus said, look, she has done a good work. She has done a good work. But you know something? Let's really understand it properly, what this woman did. Maybe if God permits, we can have more points. Otherwise, we'll end with this one. But what I want to say is that let's see what happened Again, in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, you see, sometimes you need to go behind the scenes. Those who watch films, you know, so they show behind the scenes how the film was made. And most of you don't watch it, but it's very important to watch to see how it was made. Do you understand? Now, Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that she sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself. So you see that it's not only the disciples who spoke, the unbelievers also spoke. He spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she's a sinner. You know, he said, if he was a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinner. But who did Jesus come for? Who did Jesus come for? No, he came for us. We the sinners. Yes. So it's a sinner. Why are you doing that? And the Bible says, and Jesus answering, listen to this, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now he addressed the disciples, which meant all of them were saying it. So you see, the account is like that. Matthew will say one thing, Luke will say one thing, Mark will say, but if you put all of them together, you'll get the full story. And so that John will come and also give us another aspect of it to you, then you put it together. So now he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor, listen to this. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? It's a very wonderful question. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? In other words, Jesus is saying, I see, anybody who remembers that I am a sinner and I have been forgiven, and the person remembers how much God had forgiven him or her, the person shows a certain kind of gratitude and appreciation. Hallelujah. It is when you forget and you think that you have, nothing has been done for you. That is why when you can think that nothing, he doesn't deserve it. So he said, tell me which one? Which one? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he, to him you forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest this woman? I entered this house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. Hey, Kayandora Bakatashas. Hey. Have not ceased to kiss my feet, and my head with oil thou didst anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, which are what? Many. You know, one of the ways to have your many sins forgiven you is to be thankful to God forever and ever. Be thankful. You see, no matter how much your sins are, when you are able to thank God for your sins, I tell you, Sunday, I was here, first service, and the worship team was leading worship. And I saw Martha. She was part of the worship team, and she was crying. She was crying. And as I was looking at her, God told me that, look at her. Look at how she's crying. Why do you think she's crying like that? It's because she thinks that I've forgiven her much. She thinks I've forgiven her much. Because I know things maybe about her you don't know. You see? So she thinks that I've forgiven her much. So she's crying. She thinks that she's not even worthy to stand here to sing. And God told him that, you see, even some people who see her singing would ask this question. If this man was a prophet, you'd have said, this person shouldn't sing. And look at her. She is the one who is crying. Have you seen any other person crying? I was sitting here. I came for a wedding Sunday. I was sitting here. And God spoke to my heart. I said, wow. I said, wow. Immediately, I fell in love with her. I said, wow. Immediately, I fell in love with her. Why don't you cry when you sing? Why? Why doesn't it occur to you to even need or to show some kind of emotion? Why? Because, see, you have taken for granted. It's like, Charlie, as for me, I don't really know what I have done that God should really forgive me. I don't really understand. I have not done, I have not sold myself. I have not taken anybody's husband. I have not taken anybody's wife. Ever since I married one man, one wife, me, I have never spoken this. And so, what should make me cry? What should make me cry? I deserve to sing. I deserve to be here. I deserve the message. What should make me cry? What should make me cry? Why should make me cry? Why should make me cry? I deserve it. I've done nothing. I don't even know why she's singing with us. She doesn't deserve it. I have not done any of the things she has done. So let me sing my song with a straight face. And let me finish my song. That is what it is. That is what it is. But in our hearts, we don't know. We don't know that for our many sins to be forgiven us, we have to be thankful to God. We have to be thankful to God that, Lord, you have been gracious to me. It is only the car. It's not only the house. But you have been gracious. I should have died. I should have had an accident. I should have died in my sins. But you had mercy on me. You had mercy on me to wait for me to be born again so that I will go to heaven. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh Lord, that's why when I hear music, I can't stand in my. I have to come and go. I don't come and go for show. I come and go because I say, "Hey, is it me?" I tell myself, the people, all these people behind me, they don't know the message you have shown to me. They don't know. They don't know the message you have shown to me. They don't know the message. If they know you 1%, 1% is even too much. That one you collapse. 1,000,000 that can go to the stars. 0.1 of it. You don't even sit by me again. You don't even sit by me again. And then he counts me worthy and say, come and preach to my children. You are a pastor. You are there. You think because of you, I won't give thanks to him who has chosen me above you? No way. I will give thanks to him for his mercies. For his mercies. Because I don't deserve it. I don't know. Maybe you deserve it. Maybe you came from a home. You deserve it. Maybe you have some money. You deserve it. But I don't think I deserve anything. I don't think I deserve to be standing here to be preaching to you. I don't think so at all. Just by his mercies, just by his grace. That is why I will say, let us thank God always for his word. He is good, and his mercies endure forever. He is good. Bible said that, he said, which of these people do you think have been forgiven. I said, this woman, she thinks that because of her many sins, she appreciates me. You didn't have a job to do. Now you've got a job to do. Now you've even forgotten about God. You've even forgotten about God. Now even when we are preaching, you can look at your time and say, oh, they are preaching for too long. Now, you have forgotten so soon. Who even gave you that job? Say, they were lepers. And they say, son of man, have mercy on me. And he had mercy and gave them a job. Immediately they went straight on journeys. They never came back to say, oh, son of man, let me even join your choir. Let me even, they never, nothing. They forgot about him. And no wonder God is about to forget you. No wonder. But may God not forget you in the name of Jesus. May you appreciate. You see, appreciate. Let me tell you something. A heart of appreciation is makes you a happy person. Makes you a, and a happy person lives longer. A happy person is always nice. I hope I will, a happy person, if I, or you're happy. Yeah. And let that be. You see, look, you will fall. Thank God. Don't thank God that you are falling on me. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his mercies. And I tell you, your many problems shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. I say your many problems shall be what? And best of it, it will even get you out of your difficult problems. Hey, best of it. It's a powerful praise to put your hands together for Jesus. Best of it all. You know the famous Paul and Silas, isn't it? Paul and Silas in the difficult situation, and yet when they sang, what happened? The prison doors were opened. Hallelujah. And then we know the famous story of our brother Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by the whale. This is one of the stories in the Bible that I always get confused when I get there. And I've chosen to believe it as it is. He was swallowed by a whale. Hey! And Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Just a whale. Can you imagine that you are swallowed by a python? Because I've seen someone who was swallowed by a python. And something happened and the python vomited him. He didn't die at the end of the day. But actually, if a python swallows and vomits you, I think throughout your life you will not be too happy. But and it was an Indian, and you'll be too happy. You'll not be happy. But at least it was swallowed by a python. It came out again like that. It came out again. It's not a film, National Geographic. Hallelujah. It was also in the belly of the whale, and the Bible says, "In my distress, Jonah 2:2." In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depth of the grave, I called for help and you listened to me. Verse 9. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, hallelujah, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. What I have vowed, I'll make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. I tell you, from now through 2018, some thanksgiving is going to cause the Lord to command whatever fish of unemployment, fish of poverty, fish of sicknesses and diseases, I see them vomiting. You say, hey, I cannot handle you any longer. You are too hot. How can you be mentioning the name of your God? How can you be thanking God in this hot situation? How? And let this be your attitude in 2018, from now to 2018. Because you know, some of you, your 2017 promise had not come to pass. It shall come to pass before you see 2018. So I am not asking you to give up and say, okay, I'm now waiting for 2018. No. I'm just telling you that there's going to be a build up in 2018. But for the 2017 one, you're still going to have it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that, and the Lord commanded the fish. I am sure that many times, as we have come to church and we have rejoiced, we have danced, there have been a lot of command. Vomit, vomit, vomit. As we are just shouting, we are just laughing, we are just clapping. That is why when you come to church and they are dancing, dance some more. They are singing, sing some. They are clapping, clap some. They are jumping, jump some. They are taking selfies, take some. By the time you hear, God is causing and commanding things to vomit you, vomit you, vomit you. Hey! Charlie, you don't know the things that are happening in the realm of the spirit. God will command some ancient devils. They have pursued them. Wherever you pass, they come there. Wherever, what Kohim cried, they were able to follow you. But one of these days, as you are dancing, as you are dancing, as you are dancing, and the Lord shall see, and the Lord shall command that vomit. By the time you get home, your blessing is waiting for you. By the time you sit in your car, your phone is telling you your blessing. Hey! Charlie, that is why we always, always, always need to thank God. Look at Job. Look at Job. Job 1, 21, 22. Say, the Lord had taken away. The Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey! Do you know what happened to Job? All his business was spoiled. Children taken. Everything went bad. His friends came, cursed God and live. Everybody was saying, Charlie, what kind of God are you still serving? And I'm sure some of you people have still been telling you, what kind of God are you serving? Your mother, your father, your friend, they've been asking you such a question. What kind of God are you serving that still, you still go to church and we still don't see anything? Even some of you, your wife is telling you that. Your wife, because the chop money has become a big problem in the house. Baba said that, he said, the Lord had taken away. Even though it may not be theologically correct, but as far as he's concerned, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. After all, well, he said, naked I came. And naked I said, when he was coming into a wedding, he came naked. When his mother born him, he was naked. He was naked. It's just the message of God that he called something. But actually, he was naked. He said, naked I came. If I'm going naked, then so what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of the time you have to look at yourself and say, look, I have lost my job. Oh, you may even be crying. Then he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing some songs. In 20, you say, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What does it mean? It means that if you are supposed to thank God, and you don't thank God, you say other things, you are charging God foolishly. You are charging God foolishly. That's why I say, look, you in everything, like Job, like Jonah, like Paul and Silas, like the other, just thank God. For this is good. And this is also the will of God for your life. You thank him and leave the rest to him. Thank him. I don't know why some of us, we are too spiritually inquisitive. He says, thank me in all things. You thank him and see what he will do. What's your problem? He says, bring it all the tithe and prove me now. You bring it and prove him. What's your problem? But you're spiritually inquisitive. What will he do? What will he do? Hallelujah. I tell you something. Finally, thanksgiving will eventually set you free. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving will make you great. Hallelujah. You see, at the end of the day, everything God is doing for you is to make you great, but you will not know. At the end of the day, everything God is taking you through is to make you great. You are the one who doesn't know. That's why you have to still give thanks to him. Do you get it? That's why you have to still give thanks to him. Then let me give you this story and we'll go. I think I've told you this story before. But the story about a man who was promoted at work and he decided to celebrate with his family. You remember this story? He decided to celebrate with his family. So at dinner, he gave each of his three children special gifts. And each was a box that contained a simple sheet of paper. And printed on it a list of character qualities most needed to become successful. You get it? He gave you a list. And that gift was a list of a small sheet of paper. And on that small sheet of paper was what? Character qualities most needed to make them successful. By each one, he had marked the ones that the boy needed to work on in order to fulfill his potential in life. The whole thing cost less than $1. After he has been promoted, the gift he gave to cost more. I mean, can you imagine? Your husband gave you a gift and you thought that the gift was very expensive. When you also went somewhere, you saw the same thing. When you went to ask for it, it says 10 cedis. Hey! Meanwhile, you thought that the thing was about maybe 5,000 cedis or something. Not knowing that the thing, even apart from 10, was also on sales. So he just took he removed the sales from it and put the old something on it. The three boys, after reading, rose and the oldest threw his on the table and sarcastically remarked, "Thanks a lot, Dad. I hope you can afford it." Thanks a lot, Dad. I hope you can afford it. In other words, I hope you could afford that little whatever you gave you. I hope you, it's like sarcastically. So he didn't even take any. The middle son stood to his feet and said, "Thanks, Dad. I appreciate your thoughtfulness." And went to call his girlfriend and said, "You can't believe what my cheap, idealistic dad just gave me." Hey. So he thanked God, all right, too. I mean, he thanked them all right, but when he went, you cannot believe it. He called his girlfriend. "Come and see what my cheap, idealistic dad gave me for a gift. He's telling me." I think it's this paper, the yellow one that you stick it. That's what he wrote the thing on it. And now he's telling me that this is the gift for me. And he was not happy. And then Eddie, the younger son, however, studied the page carefully. He thought, what a treasure of information about himself that no one else but my dad could compile. What a treasure of information about myself. You know, so when you come and the person is telling you the truth, you don't want to hear. I know one girl, she tells me that the only reason why she doesn't come to me about certain issues is, you know, I will tell her the truth, and she always doesn't want to. She knows that she can't do what I'm asking her to do, so she won't come. He said that, what a treasure of information about himself that no one else but my dad could compile. Tears began to form in his eyes as he thought of the hours of labor and thoughtfulness that had gone into this simple sheet of paper. So the paper looks simple, but for someone to sit down and look at your future and look at what can make you be successful in 10 years' time, you know, the person might have really sat down to think a lot about you. But really sat down to think about you. He reached over, hugged his dad, and said, "Thank you, Dad. I will cherish this for as long as I live." Hallelujah. Now all three of these boys, those boys, received the same gift, but only one of them said thank you from his heart. Only one of them could know that even though on the surface this doesn't look too something, but inside, if you look at it well, you will see that inside is your blessing. But the attitude were different. The younger one took that list studied it, and began to work on the things his dad had noticed he needed most. So he took it and studied it. Some of you come to church, somebody tells you that the way you dress is not good, and you get angry. You get angry. Somebody tells you that there's a bad smell on you, and you get angry. Who should tell you that? I mean, who should tell you that, apart from a friend? Who should tell you that the way you talk is not nice? Is it not somebody who loves you, who will feel embarrassed to see you go stand somewhere and talk in a certain way? Is it not that person who can tell you that? Otherwise, the rest, they don't care. They don't care. So instead of being angry, rather, you should, this person really cares about me. After all, especially if maybe you are a wife or you are a husband. Me, I always tell people's wives that, look, am I the one who is married to you? I'm not the one who is married to you. Am I the one who is crying? I'm not the one who is crying. You are the one who is crying. You and your husband are the ones who want to divorce. I am just telling you what you need to do well, to do well in your marriage. You either take it or you don't take it. There's no need to be angry with me. And what if what you need is that you are too fat? I have to tell you, I can't tell that you. If what you need to, I can't go and do your hair. I'll say you are too fat. If what you need is that, that's what I was. Is that, why did you go and see the doctor? Why did you go and see the doctor? Yeah, he went for solutions. Amen. He went for solutions. So rather, when you come to church, even when he was preaching, some of the things he said is about me. Instead of going and say, hey, I thank God that God made the man to preach about me. Hey, that all these people here, God could sing if even it's about you. Often it's not even about you. But even if it's about you, see that all these people, God could single me out and talk to me. I'm so important. So, hey, what a precious me. You just, what a precious me. And go out happy and rejoicing. And go and change. Don't let the devil enter you and go with anger and with a certain kind of face, a certain kind of attitude. No. No. It will not help you. It will not help you. You see, the people should tell the truth. They are not telling you the truth. I'm telling you. They are not telling you. Even including something, including your own spouses, they don't tell you the truth. Because, you know, they know that when they say it, you'll be angry with them. They too, they want to be happy. The small, small, small favors that come in the night, too, they should lose that one too. No, they will not lose it. Hey. Small, small favors that come in the night, too, they should lose it. They will not lose it. Hey. Say amen, somebody. Listen to this. Listen to this. The younger one took the list, studied it, and began to work on the things his dad noticed needed his attention. He became the president of one of the largest corporations in the country. Yeah. That's what he became. When he received that thing with a good heart, a good attitude, the other two, who could not be thankful for what they needed most, have struggled to exist. They are continually battling certain character flaws in their lives. Character flaws a loving father had pointed out to them years before. Years before. Me, some of you being in the choir, when they are shouting at you, when they are doing this and doing that, you make a face. You don't know that it's even preparing you to meet a certain husband for you to live with a husband. You don't even know. You don't even know. Hey. But you know something. Meanwhile, the dad had other present for those boys that day too. He simply wanted to give them the list so he could gauge their responses and see just how grateful they really were. So he had wonderful gift of money for them, but he wanted to see their responses. For you see, because if he gave them the money for their account, they were going to spoil it. So at the end of it, what happened? All went to the last one. That is why some of you are living here with people's blessings, we should have come to them. But by the way you have received God, by the way you are thankful, you are the one going with somebody that was supposed to have come to him or her. You are the one going with it. And I am sure that many times I've come to church and people's monies have entered my pocket. People's monies have entered my account. People's monies and houses have come to me because I came rejoicing. I came lifting up my hands and said, Lord, I thank you. I remember Many times when I'm thinking, I'll be remembering things and I'll be appreciating things, and people's car keys will be going to this soon to my pocket. People's, may your car key not go into somebody's pocket because of your attitude. May you receive your own cows and your own car key. As you are, you show some kind of gratefulness or some kind of thankfulness to God. A good attitude. Yeah. A good attitude. Yeah. Gratitude. Yeah. Show it. Hallelujah. When the woman of Alabaster boss was doing it, can you imagine? I could imagine what some guys would say. Can a woman kissing Jesus' feet with their hair? Hey. Shabayandas. Hey! The mans of God who have come these days. Hey! This woman, the man is having feeling. You, instead of thinking about the baby, think about the man's feelings you'll be having. Shame unto you. Shame unto you. Hey! Shame unto you. Emotional. The woman showed emotions. That's why emotions are good sometimes. When you are serving God. Some of you, when you come to church, your face shows nothing. Hey, your face shows nothing. I mean, no matter what. And you have to change, though. You have to change. It has to change. It has to change. Hey, they will be singing. They'll be doing this. Your face is straight. No emotion. One day you get a husband who will show you zero emotions. Zero. As you have shown no emotions in worship, you see a husband show zero emotion in marriage. You'll be there. You'll be sick. And the man will take his bed and say, "Charlie, the way my wife is going, I'm going to sleep in the study." Zero tolerance for emotions. Hallelujah. That's what I've been telling you. Some of you want your husbands to come and give you kisses. It depends on what you are showing now. You are not showing emotions. You see, because men naturally are not emotional. But they can be emotional by what you are showing now. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sisters, are you going to dance in church? Show emotions. Hey. When the pastor preaches and it's nice for you, stand up and say, "Pastor, you are blessing me. Preach on." Zero emotions. Hey. Meanwhile, you now, you know that preaching ekikiwo. Ekikiwo. Hey. I should tell them, eh? I will tell them. I'll tell them. Amen. So let's show emotions. Her tears. Sometimes when you are in worship, you know, I mean, I was so shocked when God, as I was sitting here, God was just talking to me about her. I said, "Wow." Honestly, she's one of the reasons why I took this verse. Honestly. Yeah. I went to study it again. She's one of the reasons why. But it touched my heart. It touched my heart. You get it. It touched my heart. You church, right? Just forgot some of you, your sins. The sins. You just count the three boys you aborted. We are a murderer. I shouldn't go there. Okay. I'll stop here. Why wouldn't you show some emotion and say, "Lord, I really want to thank you. I really want to thank you." Do you know the other time the Israelites were going to war? They were going to battle. They didn't know what to do. God said, "Look, take some musicians. Let them take the lead. Let them just sing praise and worship. Let them just sing praise." Do you know why? Because when you do that, you see, because he inhabits the praises of his people. So when you do that, then he comes in. So when they started, God just came in, and as they were thankful and everything, he took over the battle for them. Don't enter into 2018 into some battles you don't have to fight. Praise and thank God from today, so that God will take those battles and fight for you. I'm telling you, That's why perfect love casts out fear. Don't be afraid of anything. Just flow. 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 Everything is for your good. And you see what the Lord will do. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? This is a preaching to change your attitude. Preaching for a good attitude. So that you always be thankful. And let me tell you something. That thing that Joel Osteen says is very important. When things that used to be a miracle now become so normal. And I'm telling you, as I've spoken to married couples, I've spoken to people, I've realized that many times this is what has become the problem. Super, super, super things have become normal. So there's no appreciation. There's no joy. There's no thankfulness. There's nothing. And that is what is also supposed to make you happy. And that happiness has a certain effect like that. It goes like this. It says so many things are happening. So many things are happening. Jesus said, why? Where are the other nine? You are 10. Only one came. Before I close, I want to give you your Thanksgiving envelopes. How many of you have your Thanksgiving envelopes? We give out Thanksgiving. How many of you don't have Thanksgiving envelopes? We give out Thanksgiving envelopes. If you don't have Thanksgiving envelopes, stand up and come for that. Every look, the woman, Jesus didn't tell her, go and bring your alabaster box of ointment. She brought it herself. If you feel that what God has done for you, he deserves for you to thank him, whatever you think is what you are going to use to thank God, it's up to you. That one, it's up to you. She brought her alabaster box of ointment. Maybe somebody also brought his Coca-Cola bottle or whatever, but he brought an alabaster box of ointment. It's up to you. It's not a fundraising. It's your way of saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. And on the 24th and the 31st of December, which is the real Thanksgiving Sunday, is 31st December. But on the 24th is to avoid temptation. Bring it early. And 31st, also you can bring it. You get it. So that you just bring your envelope and come and give thanks to God. Come on, Lord, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. I want to thank you. 31st, Sunday morning. Let's come and thank God with your envelope. Your envelope, say, Lord. Midi mini padye yi beba faria ma owa. She said, mini she. Mini padye, but this one, you know, you padye yi, your money. With your alabaster box of ointment. God bless you. This Thanksgiving, bring your alabaster box. The one that when you break, your people, your friend can even comment and say, hey, why is this girl doing this kind of thing? Doesn't she have a mind? Why is she doing that? Bring your alabaster box of Thanksgiving. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. On the 24th, on the 31st, God, what God has done for you and what God is going to do. You know what? Is it? For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you are going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are. It's all that has carried me through. So what you have done and what you are going to do, think about it and bring your alabaster. Come and break it. Come and break it. Come and break it. You know the cost of your oil. You know the cost of your oil. You know the cost of oil. I want this one. The cost of the oil. You know my oil, when I give my 20 cedis, it may be 2,000 cedis in the eyes of the Lord. When I give my 2,000 cedis, it may be one cedi. It may be nothing compared to what God has done for me. It may be nothing compared to what God... You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. God bless you. God bless you. Break it. Break it. Break it.
As she made her way to Jesus, she stumbles.